Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
And hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Lots of great content, so follow us if you're listening. Subscribe if you're watching. Leave thumbs up, down, reviews, comments down in the comment section. All of that interaction helps the channel grow. We really do appreciate that. I'm Kyle. That's Cam, and I'm sick, so trying to recover. Despite this being the longest episode of Mando, at least this season, I don't think there was a longer episode in the previous seasons, was there?
This is the longest episode of Mando in total.
Yeah, so despite that, this might end up being a relatively short review because of the my lung capacity right now. Thankfully, it wasn't COVID again, so there's that, just a really bad cold, but hey, it is what it is, and I might have to stop because of my internet service provider showing up to fix my upstream, because while my downstream works great, download speeds are fine, up sucks, and most people don't know if their upload speed isn't good, because they're not, most people aren't uploading.
Yeah, most people don't use it.
Shit tons of video like I do for here. So, and I can't keep using my phone as a hotspot for. That's the sad thing. My cell phone's 4G, and this is an S10. This is like a 4 or 5 year old phone now, and its 4G connection has faster upload speeds than my hardline cable internet. Thank God fiber optic is supposed to be here some point this year from a new company. So I'll get one up, one down. Anyways, we're here to do two things. One is announce the winner of our trivia question for the book Star Wars and Conflict Resolution. You guys can find an interview we had with Scott Maravilla. I'm hoping I said the name correctly with the double L there. Anyways, yeah. So the winner is Gregory Noble, who wrote in and said it was John Ratzenberger, who played Cliff in Cheers. His Empire Strikes Back character is Major Bryn Derlin in The Empire Strikes Back there on Hoth. So congratulations, Greg. Thanks for watching. Thanks for participating. And hopefully we can be doing more giveaways in the future. Maybe I'll get my 3D printers up and running and get you guys some cool stuff that we can give away. I think I can do that. I should be able to do that. I don't know. We'll see. But go ahead. I'll, of course, contact you if I haven't already. But we'll communicate through email instead of just Twitter, so that way it'll be secure. We'll get you your copy out to you as soon as possible. So yeah, that was fun. Check out the interview with Scott. I should leave a card in here somewhere for you guys. So that brings us to our spoiler-free review for Mando season 3, episode 3. It's only spoiler-free at the first, and then that first, and then we'll get into spoilers for you guys in a minute.
Yeah, but I'll just say the reason my video's froze as well for those of us watching on YouTube. It's been one of those weeks, and some planning wasn't done properly, so I ended up using not the device I normally use for recording this, but you know, couldn't be helped.
I found a nice little picture for everyone to look at. Mando, season 3, episode 3 review. What did you think of it? Cam, you go first.
It was a very strange episode in terms of it really kind of shifted from what I was expecting. I was almost like just completely surprised by what we did get. But I have to say, I really, really enjoyed it. It was one of my favourite episodes. And the kind of Andor vibes to it for me.
A bit.
I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really well put together episode, and I liked the length that we got to have sort of almost two stories being told at the same time, split as part of this episode, which we wouldn't have been able to do in a normal runtime. They would have had to be split into two separate episodes. And I think one of them would have been good and one of them would have been a bit dull. So I'm quite glad they did it like this.
I enjoyed everything that was in this episode. I am a little different in that I almost wish it wasn't structured the way that it was. I almost wish that we had been following the Dr. Pershing's story a bit along the first couple of episodes. It was a bit
jarring.
Jarring. That's a good word.
It is jarring.
Yeah, but it wasn't like
realized.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
You think it could be just one or two scenes and then it's going to go somewhere else, but it doesn't really.
Yep.
You know, that it kind of continually surprised me that way, I guess.
So, and with that, because of the expectations and everything, there were times where I was just kind of like, okay, hurry up. I get it. I know what's going on. Can we speed this up a bit?
Did you think it was slow? Because I liked that. I liked that it just took its time.
You know how I get.
Spoilers.
Yeah, it's not me ripping it. It's just it's nitpicky. I did give it a good grade. Though I gave it an A minus. I really enjoy everything that was in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would maybe go slightly higher, but not quite A+. But yeah, A, I think, is where I would go. I think it's definitely the best episode of this season for me.
Yeah.
Not my favourite episode of Mando overall, but very good.
Good action where it was needed. Good drama where that was needed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of tension in this episode.
I guess that's what I liked.
And you know, I did like that. It made
was
me
mysterious.
Yeah.
In a way. I just didn't know what was going on.
I just, like I said, it was a bit odd the way they did it.
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
So let's get into the spoilers then.
Spoilers.
Let's hurry it up. like you said, it's split in two parts. We have there's end cap stuff with the Mandalorians.
Two stories, but one.
It's a Dr. Pershing sandwich with Mandalorian bread. I want to talk about the Mando stuff first, both the first part and the last part, and then we'll talk about the Dr. Pershing stuff afterwards. But I you could see it happening a mile away, and you and I before this season started, we had an episode where we talked about what we were kind of expecting based on trailers and rumors and stuff. And you and I had mentioned about Bo-Katan and Din having a showdown of sorts. And we theorize it might not be physical. It could be ideological. And we've seen that. And you could see it coming a mile away when he's like, hey, you know, when she goes into the waters and comes out, even though it's with him, it's like, you know, she technically now could could join the children of the
given how often she normally does it, she didn't take her helmet off afterwards.
Right.
And it kind of clued you into where this might be going, I think, by that.
And I liked it because I think it is interesting to see how they could go with her, you know, because she's looking there at the you know, she asks him about the mythosaur. Did you see anything in the water? And you start wondering, is she now looking at a way to get back on top? You know, could she be the one that tries to tame the mythosaur? Bo is
because that would kind of trump the Darksaber, because the mythosaur predates the Darksaber. So Mythosaur kind of trumps it in terms of leader of Mandalore. That's pretty much
and
a given. So
while Din is a creation of Favreau and Filoni, Bo-Katan is a Filoni character, and I can see him, you know, wanting to finish up a pathway with her and her coming to terms with the old ways could be part of that journey.
Yeah.
What do you think about all of that? Especially the ending scene where they're like, well, did you take off your helmet? No. And then everyone's so welcoming. They're just like, yeah, sure, chill with us.
Because that's kind of like their way. Even Paz Vizsla now, you won't, I'm all over that. That's kind of punished, but I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
The Paz Vizsla is interesting. That's the guy who's played by Jon Favreau, by the way, in case
really?
Anyone
I didn't
knows.
Know that.
Yes, no, did you not know that? Yes, it's Jon Favreau that plays Paz Vizsla, but obviously he can't tell because he's in the suit.
Yeah.
But,
couldn't even tell like, in quite, voice. Quite is he big, doing the voice?
Jon Favreau's a big man.
Yeah,
you know?
I know
and I don't just mean big that way, he's tall as
yes.
well, you know? Yes, I'm doing the voice as well.
Didn't recognize
and
it.
Anyway. But there's family history there. So, he and the Clan Crees, the Vizsla clan, they do not get on. So it was interesting that he didn't have any kind of objection to it, but I could see that there could be possible undercurrents there that could come to the surface later on. But the most interesting thing to me is that I'm now still none the wiser as to which direction Bo-Katan is going to go, because they've kind of left it open-ended, and I like that. They've given her a possible redemption arc, if you like, to come in, maybe followed in, be part of the way, have that community. But at the same time, you kind of feel that she may be using that as in a Game of Thrones type manipulation to have these people support her to get back on top, and that using these old ways makes people more loyal, and then she knows about the Mythosaur and all that sort of stuff, and the machinations, if you like, are going on in her head. So I think they could still go either way with that, and that's good writing, I believe.
Not only that, but this could be a situation where maybe the opposite of what I was saying with that's a rough thing about being sick and needing that. instead of having her redeemed, take the leadership, be the good, strong leader they want, does her pride or hunger for ascension, if you will, get in the way of their plan, and she becomes a foil for a bigger plan? Or does Vizsla, like you say, does the past get the better of him, and he screw things up in a big plan moving forward? I don't know, but that's there, and I'm curious.
Exactly.
And
that's
good.
What we want to find out, and that's a good place to be in the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also interesting, and it's one way it maybe connects with the other story, is the whole TIE fighters attacking them. Mm-hmm. And they do specifically mention, you know, that's a bit many TIE fighters for a Imperial warlord, and it does feel like that. And I wonder if that's a tie into Pershing's story, because what we're seeing is possibly Gideon taking a hand. I don't know where he is at the moment, but he's probably incarcerated somewhere, but perhaps he's still running things, and it's him that
gets a message out,
maybe
to
sends
underlings.
That attack to Bo-Katan. That girl, is it Aelia, is clearly, you know, not looking after Pershing's best interests whatsoever. We'll get to that in a minute, but one would assume she's still potentially working for Gideon. So, you know, is that the thing that ties both of those stories together at the moment? I don't know.
Could be. We'll have to get to her when we get to more Pershing stories. But I you brought up the TIE fighters, and I did want to talk about how fun all of that was. It looked pretty good, too. It was a good way to start the episode. I made a joke of when Mando goes to get the N1, and he just drops out of Bo-Katan's ship, you know, drop zone style. I called it super repelling because he's got the jetpack and stuff. Like, it's an inside joke,
I mean,
completely, but
it's super repelling.
Yeah.
Cool. move. Oh, yeah. You know, like,
I mean, that's...
Just fly down to your own ship, jump in your fighter.
Look, we have...
Fly after them and team up on them. It was cool.
We have a lot of really cool insertion methods for special forces. There's, of course, traditional slow drop parachuting. There's
do you have jetpack drop shit?
Close. we have, of course, repelling air assault out of helicopters. There's halo jumping high altitude, low open
in the movies and stuff. Yeah.
And there's wingsuits, and there's a lot of cool stuff. The idea of a jetpack being useful in a other word I didn't want to use insertion again. There was another sneaking into something. There's another word that starts with an I, I think. Anyways, I was trying
infiltration.
Infiltration. Thank you. There's a lot of really, I mean, think about it. If the jetpack is only going to be used to slow you down, right? You're not going to be using it for any. You're going to be on target. You're going to use it to slow down and land. Just get to. That's actually, I think, relatively feasible usage. Instead of thinking of the jetpack to get around a battlefield, thinking of it as a parachute replacement.
Not that useful, because why not have a drone just do the same job, which is much less prone to dying.
But you need people on ground.
I think the problem would be getting it small enough to be effective that you could just dump it.
But it was a cool scene, and I really really appreciated that. So anything else about Mandalorians before we head to Coruscant?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's go to Coruscant. Dr. Pershing, who seems to be a real convert, the name of the episode, by the way, double meaning, both converts with former Imperials, some at least, to the side of the New Republic through the amnesty program, and also the convert idea of Bo-Katan having bathed and not removed her helmet. So nice wordplay. I liked all of this. Like I said, I almost wish we had been, to make it feel more together, I almost wish we had seen some of this in the first two episodes, even if that meant you added 5-6 minutes per episode. I would have been okay.
I think I will
with
agree with you there. I would have been okay with a couple of little scenes that at the time we thought, what are the point of these? Why did they add these in? And you'd have probably been moaning last week. Those scenes were pointless, but actually when you get to this point, they would have made sense.
Yeah.
A little bit. So yeah, I agree.
This third episode could have had the whole train scene with them and the betrayal. With the first two episodes covering some of him getting there, the meeting with the other amnesty persons. I think that could have worked better, but we'll see what they do. I dug all of that. It's
I like
a big
the surprise of it though, that maybe I wouldn't have got if we'd done it that way, because it did come out of kind of left field for me. And sometimes that's a good thing.
When it comes to what's her name? I don't remember her name.
The bad one, basically.
Yeah, the one that betrays.
Aelia Kane.
Kane. As soon as I saw her, you know, enter the room and watch, you're already curious, like, what's going on? Is she still an Imperial sympathizer? Is she a plant?
Yeah.
I said that to Christine, like, I don't even remember when. I was like, maybe she's a New Republic plant, like, and in a way she was. But the big question though at the end of the day is what are her motivations? Are they revenge? Are they taking orders from Gideon? What is it that's going on?
I think you have to look at what is our goal with Pershing himself.
It looks like erasing his brain.
Yeah, but I think it was twofold. First of all, I think she was assessing whether he really was all for the Republic,
yes,
or whether he was kind of was still hankering for his life as the Empire.
Yep.
Because I think if he had you know, confided in her that he wasn't really into the New Republic in any way, things would have went a different way. Well, I mean, he may still be alive, but yeah. I don't actually expect we will see him again. I don't think his role is for as much as he was great in that episode, I don't think he's really needed now. No. Because I think the idea was to remove him as a potential source of information.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
Whether so that's Gideon specific or even clone.
Whether he's with us or whether he's turned to the New Republic. If he's turned to the New Republic, very cleanly make sure that he, you know, maybe gets killed or whatever.
Yeah.
And she kind of comes up with this idea and it works pretty well.
Yeah, it does indeed.
Bit convenient that a guy's like, hey, reformed criminal. You want to stay here with a dangerous machine?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm going to go get some coffee. I'll be back in a minute. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. It almost felt a little bit like that. But I guess what we're looking at is somebody who has earned some modicum of respect already, yeah. They've developed a level of trust with her. You know. But what I would wonder is what happens when Akbar guy comes back. I'm just going to call him Akbar back.
Mon Cal.
We all know he's a Mon Cal.
Mon Cal.
You know, he doesn't get named. I don't think so. You know, I don't have a name for him. But yeah, when Akbar dude comes back, so I told you I'd be right back, and he's like basically a vegetable. Are they not going to then go, well, what happened here? Who was in the room? I mean, I would expect some sort of fallout. But I mean, Ilya might have at that point vanished. You know, I mean, she could be off
mission
like a fart in the wind, if you like, at that point, because that's why she was there in the first place.
She's waiting on exfil.
Yeah. it was surprising because I knew something wasn't right with her. I knew she wasn't completely on the level. That much felt clear, but I thought it was that she was trying to recruit him back again. So to turn that round a little bit and do it that way, that she's almost playing this kind of double agent role, actually worked really well for me. And I'm surprised by this. And I like to be surprised at shows like Mando, because let's face it, these kind of shows, Star Wars in general, Marvel, they can be a bit predictable at times. And sometimes we want that predictability as well. But it's nice to get a surprise sometimes as well.
It is. We're going to have to pause. All right, let me pause this. Give me 5 minutes.
Okay? Recording stopped.
Yeah, give me 5 minutes. All righty. So Christine's going to hopefully be able to take care of that for a second, and hopefully I don't have to pause again, but we're almost done anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was gonna say.
Like I said, the whole thing is just what are her motivations, and at this point I'm thinking she is, like you said, a cleanup crew. If you can't reclaim the asset, eliminate it. Eliminate the if you can't convert it, reclaim him as an asset, then eliminate the liability. And I think that's what we're seeing. Ooh,
yep.
Sorry, out of breath. I'm sick and I had to go up and down the stairs a couple times. So it was good to see Coruscant. It was good to see the New Republic. Yep. Something you and I have wanted to see on screen for a while.
Yeah, like what happened afterwards is kind of important if you're interested in the universe. We kind of want to know that stuff. You know? What I would say is what I gleaned from it, and I don't know whether this is the way they were leaning it, but you can kind of see why the First Order could have arrived or arisen, because they're a bit, you know, well, let's all happy clappy and we'll dismantle everything, we're in peace now, and we'll all make friends again. And they don't seem very vigilant to what's potentially happening right under their noses. They don't seem aware of potential threats. And you know, you can see from that how you could get to something like the First Order. Our issue with the sequels was always that they just appeared and we didn't get any explanation. But yeah.
Yeah. No, you got it. I really, honestly, I don't know what else to say. It's a long episode, but there's only this one core aspect to it, you know? besides the Bo-Katan stuff, the meat of the episode. But I really enjoyed it. I would have preferred it if it had been edited up between the first three episodes, just to make it feel more cohesive, less jarring of this, you know, this really, like I said, it's like a Mando sandwich with a giant Pershing center, but it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. So
if there's one thing I would say maybe is just that it might not be every fan's idea of a great episode, because as we know, like, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't like Andor and, you know, prefer things like Book of Boba Fett, and, you know,
was the Mando.
That's just not Star Wars to me, and they may have liked the start and the end, but not so much the bit in the middle. I don't know
either, but this is the Mando that I want, that I expect. You know what I'm saying? In tone,
yes,
and stuff.
I agree.
It wasn't as much Mandalorian as it was Pershing, but Pershing's from season one. He's very much a Mando character. So
Yep.
So anyways, guys, we'll wrap it up there. Appreciate you checking out our reviews, and of course I managed to screw up and not have the browser window. There we go. Check out all the other shows we have here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Anime reviews and reactions, Breaking Geek Radio, Daily Cog, doing everything you can imagine in entertainment. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem will be back with Secret Invasion whenever that hits. All your favorite podcast apps, get all the podcasts, reviews, and news shows. Not reaction videos, because a reaction audio, okay. And then, of course, LRMonline.com every day for all of that, plus written news articles, reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. Cam, any last words for the people?
No, just thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week for episode 4.
And congrats again to Greg, and thanks, Scott, for providing the book. All right, guys, have a good one. May the Force be with you.